top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the prime evening news for today, Tuesday, March 19th, in the headlines. President of the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches, Pastor Randy Rodney, cautions about imminent cost of living increases due to the DLP government mismanagement of the country's economy.
Regional and global.
Chief Executive Officer Mark St. Hill says the First Caribbean International Bank Limited reveals plan to invest US$25 million in its Jamaican operations in order to expedite growth within the institution. And U.S. President Joe Biden's first phone call with Israeli leader Netanyahu in 2 months expressed concerns about potential Israeli operations in Rafah, escalating Gaza's instability.
On Q.
Details coming up next.
Station Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
President of the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches, Pastor Randy Rodney, cautions Dominicans to pay close attention to the IMF's report on Dominica's economic outlook and the recommendations being proposed. In its March 16th report, the IMF recommended the government to pursue a more ambitious fiscal consolidation to achieve objectives and self-insure against disaster risk, broadening of the revenue base, prioritizing investment with economic returns, and the implementation of a modern supervisory framework to underpin financial stability, such as the granting of statutory independence to the Financial Services Unit from the Ministry of Finance to further improve its effectiveness and support risk-based supervision. Pastor Rodney added that based on the IMF's recommendations, Dominicans should expect an additional increase in the cost of living after the 2024 to 2025 national budget presentation. Though Dominica's economy has recovered to pre-pandemic levels and a projection of 4.5% GDP is expected, this is only from economic revenue measured prior to the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020.
For us, the report says we are back to pre-pandemic levels. So whatever you think that was going well in 2020, or if you think everything was fine in 2020, according to the report, we are back to that place. And based on that report now, they're saying that we projected to go up by 4.6% or something like that. So just think about it that way in your mind, all right? Don't just hear the figure and figure, okay, by bail, and some of you asking, but wait till I buy la ila, where the money and so on. That's what you have to think about. So it's not that the IMF economists don't know the work. They know the work well, but they have to present it in a way, you know, in a fashion for the people who they're presenting it to. And then they give you the other things behind there, and they're talking about a few things that you need to pay attention to that are very possible. This is March, and our next budget is due in June, July. And by what the IMF is saying, look out for some increases. We might have to dig in somewhere for something. And you know, when government do have money, it's be any people they're coming.
And that was a president of the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches, Pastor Randy Rodney. The Dominica Water and Sewage Company Limited, DWASCO, will host a week of activities beginning March 18th to observe World Water Day this year. On March 22nd, Dominica will join the rest of the world in celebrating World Water Day under the theme Water for Peace. According to PRO of DWASCO, Kimani Sejar, every year DWASCO hosts Water Week to coincide with the global celebration of the world's water resources. Plans this year have been curtailed and will focus on the annually planned poster and essay competition for both primary and secondary school students.
In-person presentations to schools by DWASCO staff, tours of our sites at Antrim and Mondaniel. The activities will culminate with a mini exhibition at the Botanic Gardens. Staple events like our debate competition and Customer Appreciation Day have been excluded this year. The mini exhibition at the Botanic Gardens will be held on Friday, March 22, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will highlight the work of DOASCO as well as our partners in water resources management in Dominica. This includes the Forestry Division, the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation, the Dominica Red Cross, and the Dominica Meteorological Service. Students participating in the poster and essay competition are encouraged to have their submissions sent in before the deadline of March 25, 2024. In the spirit of raising awareness, students and teachers are also encouraged to decorate their schools in observance of World Water Day and email a photo or a less than 60-second video to DOASCO at k.seja@doasco.dm and get a chance to be awarded Best Water Day-themed school. DOASCO looks forward to the participation of all for a successful week of activities.
Public Relations Officer of DOASCO, Kimani Seja. His Lordship Justice Colin Williams has raised concerns over the backlog of cases and the slow pace of the preliminary inquiries in Dominica. Speaking of Nature Isle News recently, Justice Williams questioned the definition of success in the context of the judicial system. Despite boasting a 100% completion rate for the January session, the judge challenged the notion of success when hundreds languish in prisons without trial, some for years on end. His Lordship also emphasized the importance of speaking truth to power, even in the face of discomfort or resistance. Speaking of Q95 News on Tuesday, leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, classified that the points raised by Justice Williams are valid and were raised by his party in 2023.
I think His Lordship is right on point. It has been things that we have been saying locally for a while. I have actually written in my response earlier this year and as well as the budget address last year, pointing out that our judicial system is in chaos, that our judicial system is at the point of breaking down. And that is what His Lordship was clearly pointing out. He seems that he himself is at the breaking point of not being able to not speak out anymore. And it's at such a bad level that he feels compelled to speak out, which is an unusual thing. Usually there's, people in this branch of government are very reluctant to speak publicly, especially in terms of a negative report. But the things are so bad, so dire, that he felt he had no choice but to speak out. And as I said, we've been speaking out about the same thing for a long time. So we fully agree. Dominica's legal system is in a dire state. And even after the government says that they're prioritizing it in their last budget address. So it is absolutely at the point of being ridiculous.
And that was leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito. Environmental specialist at the World Bank, Natalia Margaret, highlighted the significance of Dominica's forests, emphasizing that they are not merely picturesque landscapes, but vital guardians of the nation's ecological equilibrium. She noted Dominica's dedication to conserving its natural heritage through the preservation of its forest. Margaret stressed the importance of Dominican citizens, recognizing the inherent value of natural resources and their integral role in their daily lives.
The forests of Dominica are not just the source of natural beauty, they're the guardians of the island's ecological balance, providing essential services such as water regulation, soil stabilization, and of course carbon sequestration. The urgency to protect this forest cannot be overstated. As we say, face the global challenges of climate change and biodiversity loss, Dominica's forests stand as a beacon of hope and resilience. They're a testament to the island's commitment to preserving its natural heritage for future generations. Forestry Week just serves as a timely reminder of this crucial role that forests play in our lives. Through a series of events, including educational programs, tree planting initiatives, community engagements, Forestry Week aims to foster greater appreciation for the importance of forests, forest conservation and sustainable management practices in Dominica. It also provides an opportunity for stakeholders from various sectors to come together and discuss strategies for protecting and preserving our precious natural resources. So the Forestry Week is organized under the auspices of the existing project, The Leveraging Ecotourism Biodiversity Protection Project, funded by GEF and implemented by the World Bank.
Margaret highlighted that the Biodiversity Project, initiated in 2023, exemplifies how conservation endeavors can be harmonized with fostering sustainable economic development for Dominica.
The project was launched last year, and it's an example of how we can align the conservation efforts with sustainable economic growth. Okay? It aims to address the barriers to effective biodiversity conservation, policy framework, investing in capacity building, and raising awareness among the importance about the importance of natural resources in Dominica. So the project scope is vast, covering areas of Mortois Piton National Park, Cabritz National Park, Mont du Ablitton National Park, and the Kalinago Territory. So these areas are not just scenic landscapes. They are the lifeblood of Dominica, truly, contributing to the island's cultural and ecological diversity. There are various aspects to the project, but so one critical example is the introduction of the e-ticketing system. The platform for the user fee collection and the visitor management is a step forward, ensuring that the country's ecotourism practices are sustainable and beneficial for the conservation efforts.
Natalia Magret, World Bank Environmental Specialist. The president of the Concerned Citizens Movement, Washburn Coffey, affirmed that the organization's primary mission is to safeguard Dominica's democratic principles and to advocate for marginalized voices, while also championing justice impartially. He stressed the critical role of the rule of law in ensuring democratic governance.
I just want to briefly to put this in context, to briefly refer to our aims and objectives as the CCM. Our main aim and objectives is that we stand as a defender of our country, upholding its democratic principle, to be the voice of the voiceless, and to be championing the cause for justice without fear or favor. Rule of law is critical to democratic rule and governance, and that is well within our objectives of what we stand for and what we fight for. So we are not discussing this as a matter of hard politics per se. We are discussing it because it falls within the purview of what our aims and objectives are and what our mission is, to undertake patriotic activities to accomplish the aims and objectives that I just referred to. And we are doing all that consistent with our vision to ensure that Dominica remains a democratic country, irrespective of age, gender, social status, or political affiliation.
Coffey suggests that the current administration's action towards the people of Dominica resemble those seen in Haiti and other Caribbean nations, where political systems lean towards authoritarian regimes.
I think it is important time and again to remind us of our mission and our vision and where we are as a CCM in relation to discussion on such important matters. It mirrors Haiti and other like countries whose political systems are more so based on dictatorship regime, where we have significant problems in terms of dictatorship rule and management style. And whereas we have seen in Dominica the no law, no constitutional doctrine. And in these types of regimes, what do we see as common thread among most of them or all of them? We see serious disregard for the rule of law, discrimination, high levels of nepotism, high levels of corruption, significant disregard for human rights and universal rights, and rights enshrined in the Constitution, our right to free speech, to assembly, to dissent, right to our property, and so forth.
Concerned Citizens Movement President Washburn Coffey. Senior disaster risk specialist at the World Bank's Saranga Kahandawa says the houses constructed under the Housing Recovery Project have been designed to withstand the adverse impacts of natural disasters. Within its framework, pointed out the importance of investing in the resilience of the housing sector, adding the government's effort as one that can be viewed as investments made to ensure infrastructural resilience.
The houses constructed under the HRP have been designed to withstand major hurricane winds and also the earthquakes. The investments in the housing sector resilience is very important. I think we have seen the government of Dominica is making concerted effort to advance this agenda in many fronts. I should congratulate the Honorable Prime Minister and the government for all these efforts made. We have seen efforts to build houses in safe locations. That's the most important thing, new houses being built in safe places. We have seen efforts to strengthen houses which are vulnerable before the hurricanes. There are initiatives going on with the World Bank and other development partners to identify vulnerable houses and strengthen them before events so that the families can stay in their homes after disasters. You may have had experience, we have had experience, you know, the temporary relocation after disasters is a very painful process. I think these initiatives will make sure that after disasters, the families can stay in their houses.
Kawandaha has underscored the significance of insurance concerning natural disasters, highlighting the government's active involvement in initiatives aimed at promoting these aspects, particularly in the housing sector.
The other one is to relocate vulnerable families who are living in very fragile environment. We have seen efforts from the government. Dominica, we have been working with the government. We have seen across the world, you know, governments are taking concerted effort to identify vulnerable communities who are living in very fragile environment and to relocate them. And insurance plays a critical role in the housing sector resilience, and we have seen some of the initiatives taken towards that. And all of these efforts will contribute to the government's vision of making Dominica a resilient nation by 2030.
And that was Sarunga Kahandawa, World Bank Senior Disaster Risk Specialist. Ronald Charles, deputy political leader of the United Workers Party, has outlined the next steps for the people of Granby, urging them to demand the independence they rightfully deserve from the current government. He emphasizes the importance of progressing for the betterment of all Dominicans. Charles specifically calls upon youth of Granby to unite and vocalize their concerns for societal improvement, emphasizing the potential impact of collective action.
What's next for Granby is to tell the incumbents that you need a break. You are tired and we need to move on for the betterment of people in this country. Why on earth a young person who works under the NEP program cannot come here, listen to something different and make up their mind and listen to people speak? And if they do that, you're going to tell them that they lose a job next day? And this is the kind of country we should be living in. Our young people have to learn to stand up. Our young people have to learn to speak truth to power. And you, Granby, we have to do it as a team. So where do we go from there? Where do we go from there? We go, no, for you to be the advocate for electoral reform. Because we need to have a level playing field. And if you're playing football and you have 12 players and I come with 8, obviously you have an advantage, especially when the referee also playing on your team. We cannot afford for this to happen.
Charles additionally emphasized that it's crucial for citizens of Dominica to recognize that the country requires the collective efforts of its people, particularly in the present circumstances. He highlighted that remaining silent should not be considered acceptable.
You need to speak to your neighbors, because sometimes communication gets better when you speak to your neighbor. And we must understand that Dominica needs us. Dominica needs us now. There's no more turning back and people being afraid to speak. Afraid to speak for what? Because somebody is going to pass along with a little piece of paper bag and they will promise you something. or like what I just heard, they will come to church the day before somebody else is going to tell you something that they should be doing. So we have to stand up as a people. And the United Workers Party continue to be there for you. We continue to steer the ship, and we continue to do what we need to do to bring Dominica in a better place. In conclusion, as Chubby said, bring back the milk and honey. Bring back the milk and honey.
Ronald Charles, deputy political leader of the United Workers Party. In other news, the First Caribbean International Bank Limited is planning to accelerate growth in its Jamaican operation, as it plans to inject US$25 million or $3.85 billion in new capital to facilitate these ambitions. This was announced by the bank's chief executive officer, Mark St. Hill, recently at the 30th annual general meeting, which was held virtually. The move comes as the regional bank looks to focus on its remaining 10 core markets, especially with respect to Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, whose populations account for 80% of the English-speaking Caribbean. St. Hill added that he is absolutely pleased to announce that the board also supported the bank's strategy for delivering growth in the Jamaican market, which they had already started to see, adding that they had approved an additional capital injection into the Jamaica market, and that will allow them to fuel continued growth. He says that already they are seeing some phenomenal performances. Actually, if they take their personal and business banking franchise in terms of percentage growth, it grew the most of our 10 countries with the highest growth of 14.4%. Jamaica Limited only account for 7.81% of the bank's US$858.44 million consolidated revenue, and a mere 7.13% of the bank's US$15.16 billion consolidated asset base in 2023. Thus, Jamaica is the fourth largest market by revenue and assets, while trailing Barbados, the Bahamas, and the Cayman Islands. And the President Biden cautioned Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the potential excavation of Gaza's instability by an Israeli military operation in Rafah. They agreed that representatives from both sides would convene in Washington to address the issue.
Joe Biden had his first phone call with Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu in 2 months on Monday, where he told him an Israeli operation in Rafah would deepen anarchy in Gaza. Tensions have risen between Israel and the US, its top ally, over Netanyahu's handling of the war in Gaza. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said later that Biden told Netanyahu Israel needed a coherent strategy rather than to smash its way into the war-torn enclave.
A major ground operation there would be a mistake. It would lead to more innocent civilian deaths, worsen the already dire humanitarian crisis, deepen the anarchy in Gaza, and further isolate Israel internationally.
On Sunday, Netanyahu had reaffirmed his pledge to push into Rafah in Gaza's southern tip, where more than half of the territory's 2.3 million residents have been sheltering to escape fighting farther north. However, after Biden's call, the White House said Israel agreed to send teams to Washington to discuss the way forward and would not proceed with a Rafah operation before the talks happened this week or the next. Meanwhile, Israel claims it killed 20 militants in a deadly clash at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City early Monday. In video from Israeli forces, Israeli soldiers could be seen firing their weapons and moving into the compound. Gunshots and explosions were heard in eyewitness footage of the raid, which Israel says also resulted in the death of a top Hamas operative. Israel says more than 200 terrorist suspects were apprehended in Al-Shifa. Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry said the Israeli raid led to multiple casualties and set off a fire in one of the buildings. Fighting in Gaza continues to take a toll on civilians, cutting off food supplies for thousands. A UN-backed monitor, the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, said Monday around half of Gaza's population, or 1.1 million people, were facing catastrophic shortages of food. And around 300,000 people there now face the prospect of famine-scale death rates.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. President of the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches, Pastor Randy Rodney, cautions about imminent cost of living increases
regional
due to the DLP government's mismanagement of the country's economy.
Q95DA.
Chief Executive Officer Mark St. Hill says First Caribbean International Bank Limited reveals plans to invest US$25 million in its Jamaican operations in order to expedite growth within the institution. And U.S. President Joe Biden's first phone call with Israeli leader Netanyahu in 2 months expressed concerns about potential Israeli operations in Rafah escalating Gaza's instability.
5DA.com.
I've been your presenter, Felice Valmont.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q.